Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down chapter 44, No Exits. We've got Grizzly Attacks, an afterlife game of Griffin and Gargoyles, and is this the birth of Regica? We'll find out. Let's do it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Liza Minnelli bringing us into this episode of the Riverdale After Show. Do you like this one better than Josie's cover?
I can't say that I do. I mean, Josie really killed it this episode.
She did. She did. Welcome, everybody, to the Riverdale After Show, bringing down every episode of Riverdale, airing Wednesday nights there on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
And hello, guys. I'm Sam Davidson. I've been looking forward to this moment for so long that there's a new Riverdale show and that I could be with you again. So thank you for welcoming me back with such open arms already. No, we've been talking online, Frank. It's not just you,
no,
okay?
No, that's fine. Absolutely. One person that's not going to be joining us, though, for the remainder of the season is our beloved captain, Ben Bateman.
We lost him.
Yes. Life is just too busy for Ben Bateman. When you're that handsome and that awesome, you know, you've got so many demands on your time. So he will not be joining us for the rest of the season. But I always know somewhere he's thinking about Archie and his abs. So
always.
That will keep me warm. But in the meantime, though, Sam and I will be breaking down the rest of the season, and we should hopefully be joined by at least one, if not two other people in the weeks to come to help us round out our thoughts and feelings about the season.
Yes, some major super fans, don't you guys worry, we've got you covered. But I mean, me and Frank, day one.
That's true.
Always loved this show.
We're in for the long haul,
even Frank.
Even me.
You've learned to love this show.
I still have my issues with the show, but I do enjoy watching it.
You
for
do.
Sure.
It's yes. Very true.
So as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and Sam's got a computer running, which means the chat is up and running. I know you're already in there sharing your thoughts about this episode. Sam loves reading your thoughts and comments, so keep them coming. But in the meantime, before we break down the episode in detail, Sam, you know, it's been a while. We haven't had a chance. So how have you felt about the season so far and your feelings as we jump into this episode?
I thought we had the few episodes I was gone, you know, they were good. And of course, the ends, the mid-season finales are always very good. I liked this one. I felt that it was taking a different turn. I feel like they just keep on, the writers keep on trying things to see what we like. And I'm liking this turn because I feel like it's getting closer to Sabrina. And I want the two shows to merge very badly, or at least have a crossover, because then I can be right that my theories all around the whole time were correct. So I liked it.
Oh, all right. I have some issues that I do with Riverdale. As much as it's enjoyable to watch, it still does feel like they will play flat, fast and loose on what things they choose to dwell on and what things they just like kind of brush to the side. So as we begin this episode, the big thing to know is that the quarantine, which seemed to be such a buildup last season, the city's going to be on quarantine, which seems to be a huge thing that you might want to dwell on for an episode or two, has been brushed aside. The quarantine's already been lifted. Even though Riverdale doesn't have its pep back, it's like, well, okay.
I'm so freaking sick of Hiram Lodge, and I really wanted a father-daughter relationship to blossom and for him to be that bad guy that somehow still had a heart. I truly don't think there's any heart in there. I'm sick of his storyline. I almost forgot about the quarantine because I am blacking out everything that that man does because it's just stupid and it's repetitive. So,
well, especially when they built it up at the end of the winter finale, where it's FP and Jughead trying to get back into Riverdale. The quarantine comes down, stops them from getting in.
Yeah.
It's set up like, oh my gosh, we're gonna have to see how do they get back into Riverdale. Cut to, all right, we're already Riverdale quarantine's already gone. Jughead's already back in town. It's fine. We're just moving on.
But at the end of the day, that's what they do with every storyline. They've just skipped some time, so they had an easy out of being like, well, the holidays, you know, the quarantine just
yes.
ended, and we all ate too much turkey, and it's time to go back to our real lives. But I do like that the serpents kind of, you know, specifically Cheryl and Tony were taken over a bit, but we'll get into that.
Well, true. Yeah, I mean, let's just hop into that where we kind of see some of our people now. We see a rash of cat burglaries happening done by Tony and Cheryl, just trying to do their best Robin Hood.
But it's not Robin. I mean, I don't really, I'm assuming they're stealing from people that are bad. Because we don't really know who they stole from besides Hiram, do we? I mean, I'm just assuming that they're bad people and it's for themselves.
It's tough to say. When you're saying Robin Hood, you're expecting them to be giving the riches to the poor.
Yes.
We saw them take the riches, but we never saw any of them giving any of it to the poor.
Yeah. I'm a little bit nervous about this relationship and I just have a theory and don't kill me, guys. I'm sorry, but I am worried about Tony Topaz. I think there's going to be a very sad end for the two of them, that they're just going to get into too much trouble together and one of them's going to die, and I don't think it's going to be Cheryl. And I know nothing, but you guys know how I think crazy like these shows, so I wouldn't be too surprised. I want to know what you guys think in the comments, because they're just on a road that is sexy and it's fun, but it's probably not going anywhere good.
I am torn with that, because I could see, I feel like Cheryl and Tony is such a supporting tertiary character that I could see one low-hanging fruit where it's like, if we needed to kill somebody after the storyline, Tony's somebody that we could sacrifice. But it's also like, I could see them keeping her around because we don't see her that often anyway, so what's the point of killing her off?
Because external Shockwave 3 said that the writers and producers said a series regular is supposed to die. That is the best way to kill off a series regular. Make a secondary character a series regular and then plan for them to die, so you don't actually have to kill off a real legit series regular and just kill off the one that you guys made a series regular last season and got everyone excited about.
No, that's true, because if you think they're not going to get rid of Reggie, I think he's too essential to the Archie iconography to get rid of him. So Tony is somebody that you could lose. I don't think you wouldn't lose Kevin.
I mean, I'm going to see, there will be, they might be too smart for it, because there will be so much backlash about there being this lesbian couple, and there's all of, you know, people get really pissed off just in general. They think that characters that are, you know, homosexual, bisexual, any of it, that they get killed off quicker. It's kind of a thing in the CW or Freeform, all of the world. So people get very angry, and I could see them, you know, just audiences being extremely pissed off. Oh, great. Way to kill off the lesbian couple. Like, that's really fantastic.
They call that trope bury your gaze, is what they call it.
It's seriously? Like
a common enough TV trope, yeah.
Yeah. There you
go. That is the voice of our producer, who's got a voice like silk.
Oh, thank you. I don't get that often, Frank. You're generous.
That's what I'm here for. Yeah, so we'd see that. It's the only thing that would disturb me about that is, you know, we saw Cheryl off the rails for the first couple seasons, and having Tony around her has definitely been something that's kind of grounded her and made her more of a human character. So to just see her, like, in this grief and kind of just swinging way back towards the crazy bonkers Cheryl we knew from the first two seasons doesn't excite me.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, we'll see. That's we're all presupposing that.
Yes.
So, so we see them doing cat burglary. We see Veronica's speakeasy, despite the quarantine, still doing well. It's very crowded.
Just want to give a shout out to any teenagers that are watching this, that watch this show. Don't drink, but if you do and you try to start a speakeasy, it's just not going to work. Don't try to start a bar in your basement and start charging cover, because you will get in big trouble.
How are you going to get in big trouble? Well, just because her dad's trying to extort her.
I just think it's a message to send to children. It's okay for teenagers in high school to start bars.
Well, she was serving mocktails.
Not anymore.
Well, they got some liquor, but I mean, you know, it's Wild West there in Riverdale at the moment.
I agree. I just would like to remind everyone, Veronica is a teenage girl.
Yes.
She's acting like she's 30 years old. I mean, good for her. Very proud of her. And I love it. I just am excited to the point. I want them to be 21 so I don't have to feel guilty about rooting for this, like, prohibition basement that's beautiful and I would love to go, but if I went, I'd feel guilty for being there.
It's gonna be a long time at this rate that we're gonna get to that.
Yeah, time jump, I don't know, we'll see.
That's true. Yeah, if you get around to time jump, for sure. So we see that happening as well, and we also see the serpents, now that Jughead is back, trying to struggle because they don't have any means of income. And Jughead has kind of banned the use of fizzle rocks as a means of making any money.
If I've always loved Pop Rocks, you know? I never knew. Because remember Pop Rocks, the candy that mm-hmm. is... And then there's a conspiracy theory that if you drink Coke and a bag of Pop Rocks at the same time, you die.
That's true. It's a Mikey from Life story.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Jughead's pissing me off, though. I've not been about Jughead for a while now. Ever since he turned to be into the game, I've thought he was a big idiot. And I don't think he's a good leader. And I think FP's there now, so why can't FP be the leader?
Well, but FP kind of stepped aside. Yeah, he lets his son stand up.
He's not like 80.
Well, I mean, that's true. We do see later on the episode that, you know, FP is kind of chafing just being on the sideline.
I suppose. I mean, yeah. he's helping him. He's grooming him. He's basically the head of the Serpents, but he's not. He's just giving the advice to his son. But he's moving his son to do, I think, what he thinks is right.
He's, you know, he's guiding him as a father should. And the last one that we'll also explore throughout the episode, through our little breakdown here, is Betty has some of the refugees from the sisters staying with her, as they all see her as like the Griffin Queen. And they are all struggling to acclimate to just regular society now.
Or just living in a living room.
Yep.
In a group home. I mean, I suppose that it is what they were doing before. But yeah, Betty is running an orphanage.
That's true. We'll dive into the Veronica one, because I feel like that is a linchpin to a lot of this stuff, where we see Veronica first getting in the screws put to her by her father, Hiram. It's like, you know, you want my protection, you got to pay 10%.
Man, I just really, again, like I said, I always wanted Hiram to be, I love you, I'm doing this to protect you, even if the things he was doing weren't right. But this is just gratuitous.
But have you ever really felt, because even from season one when we never met Hiram, but we saw them just talking about him, we just knew the dude was bad news. And even though season two, at least with some episodes with Archie, tried to kind of show what Hiram was some kind of human semblance of a human being. I mean, we've all known that it's just been just a sham that he's been throwing out.
I suppose, but do you think there's any real love he has for his daughter deep down? I keep on thinking about this moment, and I think it will happen at some point where either Veronica's about to die or Hiram's about to die. I mean, I don't think Veronica would help Hiram. I don't. But would he try to save her? Is there any of that paternal instinct between them that there could potentially be a moment where it's either him or her, and then he sacrifices himself? I just want to have hope in her father, but I've sorely disappointed.
Certainly, I think if she was more willing to toe the Lodge party line, I think his feelings would be maybe a lot more overt. If he felt like, oh yeah, she's in my fold, I'm grooming her, she's going to be stepping up and following in my footsteps. But the fact that she's rebelling and trying to make her own path, I think really irritates him. But I think if push came to shove and her life was on the line, he certainly would step up.
But not now. He would be like, you did this to yourself. What does he call her?
Miha.
Yeah. You did this to yourself, Miha. But where's Hermione? I mean, we see her for next week. And I will say, when she came on at the end of season one onto our show, and Ben threw out his whole theory that she's actually in charge of it all, and then she said yes, basically. And then the whole second season, that did not turn out to be true. Maybe it was true all along, and she really is coming up with a bigger plan and trying to protect everyone, and she's pissed off at Veronica because she's like, stop messing up my plan. I have a plan.
Maybe, but that is a long, slow burn for that reveal.
It's a long game.
Yeah, which I don't know if that turned out to be the case. I don't know how satisfied I'd feel with that, because then I feel just like...
I would feel so satisfied. She told us right here.
Well, yeah, but I've not seen it. We know because she said in the studio, but the fact that we've hardly seen her in the show at all, and the times that we have, she's been pretty much just kowtowing to Hiram.
I see some kind of flashbacks when everything comes together, and it's scenes that we didn't see after when she was acting like that, and her actually doing contrary action and trying to help instead and setting things up. I don't know. And there was a couple Easter eggs, I feel, in there for a long time about her doing that, but I'm not sure. I have hope in Hermione.
I would love to see it, because I feel like that is a character that's been kind of woefully underused and underserved.
Mm-hmm.
We see the beginnings of a new showmance here, and that is, I'm calling it Regica.
So I think it it's veggie, maybe, which just really isn't great either. that's what people are saying. Veggie, you know, very ironic and coincidental that they just so happen to be dating in real life. But, you know, I get it. RJ's away. The mice will play. The cat will play. The cats will play. Is that a saying?
Well, so it has been 5 weeks since the quarantine went down. It came down. And then it's also been about a month that Jughead was on the road with Archie. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess it's teens and, you know, hormones and everything's kind of accelerated perhaps. But it seems like a very quick to go like, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to hook up with Reggie now. But it's happening.
Well, he's in love with her, as you could see when he just tapped his heart when she was singing. Frank and I looked at each other during that moment when Veronica's singing on stage and they make eye contact and he just, like, taps his heart with his hand.
Well, he gives her the thumbs up.
Oh, I thought he was literally tapping his heart.
No,
like,
no, he gave her the thumbs up.
You got me, girl.
No.
That's what I thought.
It was the thumbs up, as you'll see, because I know Sam likes to rewatch the episodes.
Yes.
So you'll see the thumbs up coming, which I think the thumbs up was to indicate that their plan that they initiated at the end of the episode worked.
Oh, I really thought it was just like, I love you.
do you like the coupling, though?
I don't hate it. I think he's very attractive. And I do think that fictionally and in real life, they would make beautiful babies. I mean, think about those children. That is just a mixture of so many beautiful things together. I think I like it. And I don't hate his character. There's other we were supposed to hate him, and now they're turning his character around. Now we're supposed to hate other characters, and it's kind of throwing me for a loop. But I think between the two of them with their chemistry, I'm enjoying it. And, you know, Archie's very complicated.
That's true. Yeah, I'm trying to see how I feel about Reggie. Because certainly if you know from the comic books, he's always kind of
doofus. You know, not a doofus, but like a jerk.
He's the heel. The heel. Yeah, he's always looking out for Reggie first before all others. So his interpretation in the show, you saw some of that a little bit when he and Archie were competing in terms of football. But I feel like we don't really know that much about Reggie. I mean, we know that his dad, well, is not afraid to hit him to get him to stop asking questions about Griffins and Gargoyles back in the day for them. But I feel like we haven't spent enough time with Reggie. And maybe we're going to get more, which I would love to know more about how this show is going to kind of interpret Reggie.
Yeah. Interesting opinion in the chat. Peyton727 said, LOL, Veronica and Reggie getting together is like the comics because I think they dated. Plus, Reggie is kind of better than Archie. I don't think he's better than Archie. I think if Reggie and Archie were combined, they'd make the perfect teenage boyfriend. Just take some things away and put some things together and they'd be perfect. They'd just be the perfect man.
You know, it's many of the CW shows are all about perfect men, you know, about with those great, fantastic abs, great bodies. But, you know, Sam, we don't just talk about here at AfterBuzz just Riverdale or other CW shows. Many other stuff, right?
So many other things we talk about here at AfterBuzz TV. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They are completely optional. So hit that subscribe button right now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz after shows on YouTube as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we will thank you live on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
There you go.
Riverdale every week. I love it.
We also have... Veronica, underneath Iron's thumb, but comes up with an idea that, hey, talking with Chuckette, because the serpents are out of money, what if instead of paying Hiram this protection money, you pay us the protection money, and you get out under Hiram's thumb?
I honestly thought that's what the plan was when she opened this thing. I think I just assumed, because why the hell wouldn't she? She clearly needs protection. The place clearly needs protection. Why wouldn't they get their allies, the serpents? So I was like, obviously, duh.
Well, I felt like it didn't seem to be an issue at the beginning, and then the quarantine hits, and then things change. So then it becomes more of a, you know, the mob racket protection schemes and all that stuff come into play.
It was obviously always going to be an issue, and they always knew that. If things would come after them and come after the speakeasy. So, I mean, it's a win-win, right?
Well, we do get to see somebody, people working together that we don't often get to see, and that's Jughead and Veronica.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting. We don't often see that coupling.
Except in the hot tub that one time.
True. But if you looked at it, all the other, the multiple combinations, it's very rare that you see a lot of Jughead and Veronica scenes.
Yeah, they aren't too fond of each other, I think, just in general. And like FP said through this episode, she's still at Lodge. You still can't trust her. And I don't think that's true, but I think both of them have kind of had a distrust against each other for a very long time just because of their families. So I like it. I thought it was just kind of a duh again. But, I mean, I'm glad that they've teamed up, but not thrilled with Jughead's... Jughead's not, it's definitely not a democracy. It is, it's something else. What is, I'm blanking. Dictatorship. It's a dictatorship. He is a dictator right now. And I think he's turning into a dictator. You can't just do that. You can't just do what he's doing. All of these people.
Well, he can. He's the head of the serpents.
Jerk.
He's a serpent king. He's got to do that.
He could be, he could have, you know, given them another chance. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, that's a risky run, though. I mean, if you look at it, so Jughead, when he sets down the law that, hey, nobody's dealing Fizzle Rocks anymore. We are clean of that as well. But unfortunately, finds out that Fang has been dealing Fizzle Rocks because he needed to make money for his mom's treatments that she's been needing to have. And so then we also see that Cheryl and Tony, when they break rules, they steal the Glamourge egg from the lodges, give a smooch onto Hiram's portrait. They get busted for that. Jughead wants to get rid of the two of them, but then has got to also take Fang out with him as well because he gave him a pass once, but he can't do it now.
I suppose. Everyone's saying that he's not a dictator. There is a rule book. Yeah. But these guys, they have always done things, I thought, that were against the rule book. I mean, they've done a lot of illegal things since the time that we've known them on the show. Maybe what they've done somehow was, I'm sure, given by FP told them to do it, but these people are always doing messed up stuff. So I just think that for Cheryl and Tony to be excommunicated like that was really harsh. And also, maybe just talk to them in private.
Jughead does lay down the law about the Fizzle Rocks. And so I see why, even though he gave Fang a pass, when it does come up in full view of the rest of the serpents, he's got to take his jacket. But I can see what you're saying about, because he never really said explicitly, hey, nobody else, like, steal from people and implicate the serpents. Don't do that. So, I mean, I guess he didn't technically do it. I mean, the reason he was doing it is because they kind of made this, made things more difficult with Hiram.
Well, their bread and butter has always been crime. So I think if he gave them a warning and said, give us back the egg and stop doing this, and they didn't, then he could, you know, kick him out.
You know, actually, what I would have felt more sympathy or made seen the difficulty in Jughead's decision if we would have seen what Cheryl and Tony were using all that money for. Like, I know we're stealing from a bunch of people, but we're doing it for this reason. We never really found out why. So if they'd been like, oh, we're trying to help these people that are in soup kitchens or whatever, still get food, to see what they were trying to do with that money, but without knowing what they're using it for, it just seems like, hey, we're just stealing and just keeping money for ourselves.
That's a good point. Maybe they do have a bigger plan that we don't know about. I mean, it's not like we saw them spending. I mean, we saw them playing with the money and excited to have it, but I don't know. Maybe there's a bigger plan there, and they are opening up their own farm.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, so they get the boot from the serpents. I don't think it's going to stick forever, though.
Don't piss Cheryl off. I just think it's very, just have them on your side. I think it's not good to not. And the look in Tony's eyes when she said, I am a serpent by blood, and she had tears in her eyes. That is such a big cut to Tony Topaz as a person because of her family and everything that they've been through. For Cheryl, she's a new serpent. So is Betty. Cut him out. But for Tony, I think that's a pretty deep cut. So I'm assuming she's going to be very angry. And hopefully maybe Betty or someone else talks Jughead back into just backing down a little bit and letting him back in.
Well, how much of this do you put on Fang's shoulders? I mean, certainly he was dealing Fizzle Rocks because he needed to get money for his mom's treatments. But when Jughead gives him a pass, he says, don't tell anybody about this. And then, of course, he tells Sweet Pea, who then tells Tony, who then tells Cheryl.
I just can't forget the time last year that we thought Fangs was dead and that where he shot. And I still haven't forgiven the writers for that. I cried. I was really upset. And now he's back and I'm just like, you killed him. He's still kind of dead to me. When I see him on screen, I'm like, oh, there's a ghost. Like, they really made me think he's dead. And I know that he's real and he's not a ghost. But I anything they do with that character, I don't trust them in the slightest because they tore my heart out. And I think that it's not fair, of course, but he has a reason for his mother and all of that. But I just think everyone has been through some crazy stuff. And while Cheryl doesn't need money necessarily, look at everything she's been through and Tony has been through, but specifically Cheryl. And just to give we've done this before, people have corrected me. Is it Fang or Fangs?
Fangs.
It's very sad that his mother has cancer and all of that, and he was using it to help her, but he doesn't know the intentions of the girls as well. So I feel like it's a little bit of prejudice there, you know, letting the guy get through and then the girls mess up once and they're out. My opinion.
Well, if somebody gave you a second chance and said, all right, Sam, you can stay here at AfterBuzz, but you can't tell anybody else, would you be able to keep it to yourself? Or you'd say, all right, he said to keep it to himself, but I'm going to still tell my bestie.
Well, as much as I love AfterBuzz, you know, it would have to be a situation that would be dangerous for me to tell people or something. I don't know. I mean, I think it's stupid, but also he's alone. He needs someone to confide in. And Sweet Pea always just ruins everything. So,
yeah, but if I was told, like, I get to stay in this gang that has meant so much to me and still means something to me, all I have to do is just keep quiet.
Yeah.
Then I would just keep quiet. Why tell anybody else? Because then that's just going to ruin the chances of, and look at it, blew up in Fang's face.
Well, but not anymore, because now he is a sleuth for the guerrilla gang or whatever you want to call it.
That's true. We do see at the end that they reach back out to Fangs and say, hey, go undercover with the gargoyle gang, and get us some dirt on Hiram.
I was livid when they brought the gargoyle gang member in and they didn't rip his mask off. Did you not, like, when Jughead and they jumped out of Veronica's van and they had that one, why didn't they rip his mask off? I think it's going to be a lot of familiar faces.
I feel like the only reason they don't take the mask off is because it's nobody we've ever seen before. And it's nobody that we'll ever see again. I felt like if there was some kind of story beat to gain from that, we would have seen the face revealed underneath the mask. The fact that we didn't means that there was really nothing going to come out of that person's identity.
I hope. Yeah. Fair enough.
I feel like this whole episode was about hard choices. Mm-hmm. Veronica's got to make some. Jughead has to make some as well. And also Betty. Because she's got, as we were talking about, she's like the wayward home for all these sisters, refugees. And she's trying to figure out what to do with them. Some are sliding back into getting Fizzle Rocks. Others just want to play still. Hey, let's play a game of the Griffin Queen. You can do a little campaign with us because we really need this to go to sleep. And they're trying to get the sisters to flip on Hiram.
Mm-hmm. It's very culty. And I still, you know, Hiram, I just keep on thinking, in real life, Mark Consuelos is a little man. Like, I love Mark Consuelos, but I just keep on thinking this big, scary guy, the man in black, the Gargoyle King. And I just think about them seeing him in real life, and he's shorter than Archie. And I don't understand the entire fear that he's instilled in all these people. I'm hoping it's something supernatural. I don't know, or a deal that he made with the devil to terrify them. I'm not sure. But I did feel like the nuns would kill themselves because at first they took the silence, whatever you call it. What's it called?
Vow of silence.
Vow of silence. And then they cyanide themselves. So that is just the real vow of silence, is to cyanide yourself. So I kind of expected it to go that way. I still don't understand. I just want some more insight into why Hiram was doing this. or anybody is doing this, because I don't get it.
It seems interesting with the sisters, because what we seem to find out in the fall was that they knew these fizzle rocks cause hallucinations, and they know if you go into this room with this statue that they've got with the Gargoyle King mask on it, that's going to cause people to go trip out. But it doesn't seem like they're really, like...
It would cause me to trip out, and I wouldn't need to take fizzle rocks. I walk in a room and see some dude wearing a, like, just bone mask on his face of an animal. That would be terrifying for me. I just wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, I felt like even though I guess that game kind of was birthed there, I did feel like all the sisters were like, yeah, we're really deep into this. I thought they just saw it as a means of controlling people. But it seems like by the end of this episode, where Hiram has, a generous benefactor has paid their bail, they have left a note there scrawled in, I don't know if it was blood or what was they scrawled it on the wall there in the prison cell about, we've gone to join the...
Blood, yes, I'm assuming. Interesting things in the chat. Glad they reminded us of this, because there were some loose ends last season, which we still freaking haven't touched on. Chick. Could Chick be the Gargoyle King? The one behind the mask? Could he? I think so. From what we saw tonight, that guy behind the mask when Betty walked in, or the skull head, whatever you want to call it, that looked like Chick's body. It was slender.
It was just a statue.
I thought it was actually somebody.
No, it was just a statue.
No, but... no. I think there was somebody behind it. I'm telling you. Maybe I'm crazy, but I really think there was someone behind that.
It was just a statue.
You guys, Frank is raining on my parade. Please tell me there was someone behind that, or else I'm hallucinating now. It's true. Maybe. I don't know. Chick, though. Chick and Hal. They have to come back into this story somehow, some way. Especially Chick.
Well, because Hal, we know where Hal's at. He's there in...
Psychopath, yeah. You know. But Chick, why?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, last we saw of Chick, he was running away as the Black Hood was following him. So.
Okay, it was a statue, apparently. Sorry. I get very excited.
That's all right, Sam. It's all right. She was doing her fizzle rocks before the episode. It was all right. I'm ready to watch
you
this
episode.
You can
get Pop Rocks at any, you know, CVS or 7-Eleven. Just go buy it back. It's like 99 cents.
But we see, for as much as Betty's trying to figure out what to do with these refugees, trying to get Fred to take some of them, trying to get Attorney McCoy to take some of them, it ends up being that our good pal Edgar from the farm showed up mere minutes before Betty gets back home and has whisked them all away to the farm.
I mean, it's like Alice and Polly are drinking some kind of fizzle rock tea. You know, it's like a calmer drug, but they're just very culty. And Alice, she'll be normal, and then all of a sudden she'll be like, oh, hello, Betty. I just called Edgar. He just came. You missed them by 5 minutes. It's just not her. And then Polly will be normal, but she's been not normal for a very long time.
It's interesting. I mean, I feel like the only way we're going to really know, you know, what Edgar's deal is we got to meet him to get that vibe off of him. Because, I mean, certainly we have those impressions of what, like, this farm, which seems very cultish, would be like, considering what we see, like, real-life cults and stuff. And mm-hmm. charismatic leaders that can kind of bend people to their will and get them to do kind of bonkers things. But there's always, like, at least, like, some shred of good in there, in the sense, because Alice has become, you know, a little bit of a better person in her time there. Not saying that what's going on at the farm is great, mm-hmm. but there always seems to be, like, with some, the cult thing is there is some positive aspect that gets, that's the way they draw you in, and then it gets warped once you're too far in to really realize that, oh, wait, I'm doing cuckoo things now.
Yeah, and like Taylor James in the chat said, Alice is just, ugh, I want to shake her out of it. Because, I mean, literally, it seems like if you maybe shake them, they'll be like, whoa, where am I? It's one of those things. I don't know. There's cult magic or something into play. And I want to make sure, though, before we get into Archer, we don't forget just the shout out to Nana Rose and, you know, all of them that we saw that were so willing to help those refugees.
That's right.
I was really thinking everyone was going to be like, Betty, this is really awkward, but I don't want strange children in my home.
But look at Fred stepping up, you know, with Archie there. I've got a lot of room.
Fred's like, I should have thought of opening up an orphanage earlier. I'm so lonely.
So, as Sam mentioned, Archie, we've seen what Riverdale's like right now. But we don't see kind of the beating heart of Riverdale right now, which is Archie Andrews, who has fled
not
the country.
Anymore.
He's hanging out in Canada, doing something with a ranger. He clears trails for them, gets to just hang out in seclusion with Vegas, so it's all
Vegas.
Good. Yeah. And he's going out to clear a trail, and he gets mauled by a bear.
I was really excited that this was some kind of supernatural Bigfoot or something, but it's just a bear. It's an actual animal.
Yeah, like, if they would introduce Bigfoot in a river,
I was like,
that's
are we close to Sweetwater River? Because I think that there are some supernatural animals over there. But no, it's an actual grizzly bear. Unless it's not. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there. It's like, wow, you were attacked by some animal, but it's magic. And I mean, Archie's going to be able to be brought back to life.
But you realize, like, now, from now on, like, every time he takes his shirt off, we will see scars from this bear attack.
It's just going to make him sexier somehow.
I mean, before the beginning of the season, he had no tattoo, and he had no bear scars, and now he's going to have both by the time he gets back to Riverdale.
Would you consider anything different from Archie, given the amount of time he takes his shirt off and the amount of danger he gets in? It's only realistic for him to have some tats and scars by the time he gets back. And he was in jail. He was in prison.
I do like that he gets mauled by the bear. He comes in. He calls for help from one of the rangers that he's talking to. And then he gets into the first aid kit. And he has this, like, this, you know, understandably so. You've been attacked by a bear, so you're not having all your faculties. But gets all those bandages around him and then puts on a shirt. Like, you really didn't need to put on the shirt. I don't know what the shirt was doing for you.
I thought he was going somewhere.
But he just crashed on the bed.
But no, he just, maybe a blanket would have sufficed.
Yeah, but
you
no.
Know?
I gotta put my shirt on after I put these bandages on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a CW, gotta cover up.
But while he goes unconscious on the bed, he kind of gets sucked in to these near-death experiences there.
Also, side note, did Vegas break anyone else's heart sitting there crying, the dog, when he's just like, oh, my dad, and he's just sad and crying. His master is gonna die. Made me extremely sad. Just want to put that out there.
Just sat there right there, just, you know, waiting for help to come. But he goes into a series of levels, because these near-death visions that he's having are very similar to Griffins and Gargoyles game. So he comes up against our boy that they got killed off there last season, as well as the three people that kind of turned and tried to frame Archie.
Totally forgot about those guys. I remember them now, but I was like, who are those people?
Yeah, so they set him on a path to go and do, kind of seemed like it, trying to go back into Archie's path to kind of choose different outcomes for pivotal events in his life. The first being when Fred is attacked by the Black Hood, and rather than being paralyzed, he goes and he attacks the Black Hood and takes care of him.
And I just looked at Frank at that moment, and I go, what if Archie's been dead this whole time?
That's right, yep.
At the end of season one, everyone's just been seeing Archie as a ghost.
We never knew it. We never knew it. Then the next one, we see the warden there, and he leads him to talking to the Men in Black, the Gargoyle King, our boy Hiram, and Archie stabs him.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is what's called psychological warfare of some sort. You know, I don't know what is happening, but between the fizzle rocks and I can't tell what's real or drug induced or, but I mean, I think, or a grizzly bear induced.
yeah. Cause our last one is that he meets Jughead, Betty and Veronica, and they send him on one last level to finish. And that's him going back into his own bedroom, and he's with a baseball bat. He needs to get rid of the stupid part of himself, the weak part of himself that got him into this whole mess and hurt so many people.
So when Fred said to him, you know, you're not the villain, that you are making yourself to be the bad guy or making yourself to be, I never thought Archie was a bad guy. He just has really bad luck and he's not super intelligent. Never had bad intentions. That boy always wanted to help people. So it's not like saying to Lex Luthor, you know, you're not who people think you are. It's just he's actually been a good dude.
Do you think this version of Archie that we're seeing is better than, you know, pre-getting into prison Archie?
I don't know. I think it could go either way. It could go that he is much better and stronger and more intelligent, or now he's just going to go to the dark side and lose that part of himself that's kind and wanting to help people.
Well, I figure if that's the case, it's not going to, that'll play into the end of the season where Archie realizes he needs that part of himself that he thought he'd killed to pull him back from the brink.
He's like, little boy, come back.
But we do end the episode with Archie found in the cabin, eyes open. Oh, baby, who knows? Is he going to survive?
I mean, I'm pretty sure when your eyes open and you're laying there cold, with no pulse, that means dead, right? It's not like when Jughead was held by FP, brought after, yeah. You know, it's like, okay, I get how he survived there, Jughead did, but that's like dead. And I think that the Archie and the Afterlight comic books are coming into play, and there is something that is going to happen magical to bring him back.
There you go. That was the series regular that you'd been teasing. He was going to be killed. It's going to be Archie. He himself was killed.
I don't think that's the one, though.
No, he won't be. We'll see our boy.
Because that would be a lie, because he will be brought back.
So I figure right now, since we kind of broke down this episode, it's a good time to do our class president, class clown.
Sure.
Right. This is where our little special segment here, where we decide who was the class president, was the smartest, coolest person in the episode. Who was the class clown? Who was the doofus who was making the dumb moves?
Okay. Class president. Everyone was pretty dumb this episode. I kind of hate to say this. Possibly Reggie.
Is class president?
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. Reggie seems to be very loyal, which is great. He is a good soldier. He will do what he's asked to do. And he's definitely got, just a soft spot for Veronica.
He's in love. And I touched my heart. He touched his heart with a thumbs up. Okay, you guys. Class clown, Jughead.
Really?
Yes.
He's in a tough position because he can't show weakness. I mean, right now the serpents are at a critical point. So if he starts giving everybody second chances, then everybody's just going to go bonkers on him. So I can understand. But you've also got to temper that with mercy, which I think he's learning.
Yes.
But I would give it, I would keep it in the serpent family, but I'm going to give it to Fangs. Only because he had one thing to do, and that was just not to tell anybody else. And he blabbed. So way to go, Fangs.
Mess it up for everybody.
Yes. With a little asterisk next to Cheryl and Tony, because I admire the stealing from the rich, but we got to see a gift to the poor. Otherwise, you can't call yourself a Robin Hood.
True. Fabergé egg. I mean, people are going to miss that, you know?
So for some news and gossip. One thing I just wanted to turn everybody off, if you go to popbuzz.com, they actually did a ranking of every Riverdale episode from every Riverdale character from best to worst. Which is actually fun if you go through the list and see who everybody they ranked. There's 81 people in total that they power ranked down from worst to best.
Who's the worst? Who's the best?
Yes. Any guesses on who you think out of 81 people that we've met so far in all three seasons, who might be number 81?
As the worst?
Yes.
Archie.
Well, true. Close. It is a redhead. Clifford Blossom.
Oh, I thought you were going to put it on poor Trevor Stein again, Jason Blossom. And I was like, that guy's only had 5 lines. That's not fair.
So, because he ended up killing his own son. So, I mean, it's tough to knock you off the top of there. Number one, though, and it's somebody else that's also a redhead. And it ain't
Cheryl.
It is Cheryl Blossom.
Well, isn't that ironic?
Look at that. Everybody loves her. So she's number one person there. So go check it out. Find out which one of your favorites there, where they ranked in that top 81 list there. Fangs, I'll tell you, came in at number 14. So there you go.
Well, he managed to survive death on this show. Still mad about that, but I will never get over it. Let's be real.
Just a question for you, because we always talk a lot about Archie, and where do you think Archie ranks in this top 81?
I mean, I said I thought he was 81.
Yeah,
So probably up there. I mean, maybe I'm going to give him like 60.
Well, no, he actually did better. He broke the top 20. He came in at 15.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's number two?
Number two, that is
Betty.
You are correct. Betty Cooper, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is Alice. I don't agree necessarily with that one. Four is Veronica. Five is Fred. Six is FP. Seven is Tony. Eight is Jughead. Nine is Kevin. And ten is Jellybean. We didn't see really enough Jellybean to give her a top 10.
She's a child. She's a top 10
placement. I don't know. We saw her in an episode. a little rush to judgment on a top 10 for her.
Fair enough.
All right, so quick prediction about next week.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I mean, everyone's going to think Archie is dead. They are going to be devastated. As we saw in the preview, Fred goes in, finally, and says, I will kill whoever, and I will kill you. And I just want people to... I have the chills right now. I'm so excited. And then, oh my God, you guys, I think there's going to be a Jesus thing. I'm not even kidding. I think Archie is going to rise from the dead like Jesus. And everyone is going to be like, oh my God. And then he's going to be the new king of the town. Boom. There I said it. I know it sounds crazy, but it's probably going to be half right.
Oh, all right. Well, it does look from the trailers for next week. We do see a possible attempted killing of Hiram. A lot of potential people that could be behind this. So that'll be a nice fun to play. Like who shot Hiram Lodge?
Oh, well, I forgot to say this, is that Hermione, I think next week we're going to find out her master plan that she's had this whole time.
I would love it if there really was one, but we'll see what that happens. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. We are back. We've wrapped up the first episode leading on to our season finale coming out later this spring. But in the meantime, folks, thanks for liking us. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Sam loved reading all your comments there. She will continue to read them as she rewatches Riverdale again and again and again. But if you want to stay in touch with us even after the show's over, Sam, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. I just want to thank you all for your well wishes over the holidays. I very much appreciate it.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. That's going to do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. We'll be back here next Wednesday night for another episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.